Today we're going to be continuing our series in looking at some of the people, particularly in the New Testament, who had undergone change, undergone transformation in their following, in their walk with Jesus. And the few people we've talked about already included those that typically we would think about in having a transformation, those who had a radical transformation. And we talked about Zacchaeus and how he was a no-good tax collector who tried to cheat people in terms of their taxes and their money and became very wealthy for it. He was known as a traitor, and in having an encounter with Jesus, his life was radically transformed, and he showed the fruits of repentance and received salvation. We also talked about the Apostle Paul and how on his road to Damascus was encountered by the person of Jesus, and through that encounter he was radically changed. Now today we're going to look a little bit at someone who didn't necessarily have this radical change, this point of time, a conversion where, you know, one day he's basically someone who's far from God, and the next day he is a devoted follower of Jesus. Today we're going to look at Timothy, and we're going to see that he is one who actually grew up in the faith. And when I was in college at the university, I was in the Navigators Fellowship, and I would say that most of those who were in these campus fellowships were those of us who made commitments to follow Jesus for the first time. And so for many of us, it was a very new thing, and there was definitely a point that we could see how God really had begun to work in our life in miraculous ways, and there was a notable change in our lives. But after I graduated, I moved back home to Milwaukee, and I got involved in the First Alliance Church. This actually isn't the picture of my First Alliance Church, because my current First Alliance Church has changed its name. But nonetheless, there's a lot of First Alliance churches out there. And I got involved in one back in Milwaukee. And when I was there, I got involved in a college young adult fellowship, much like we have one now. And we would meet for Bible study once a week and have different outings and stuff. And it was during this time in this fellowship that I really got to know believers, followers of Jesus, who followed Christ for their whole life. They were basically born in Christian families, and now even as young adults and people just starting their lives and careers, they maintained throughout their whole life a love for Jesus. And I was really touched in getting to know them, how they had this depth of faith that they had cultivated throughout their lives. They couldn't give necessarily a dramatic conversion story. It was actually quite boring. I grew up in a Christian home, and eventually I accepted Christ when I was 9, and I've been following him ever since. And so there's really nothing too exciting about that. But nonetheless, they had shown by their lives, as I got to know them, that they really did have a deep love for Jesus. And today we're going to be challenged by Timothy, who similarly grew up in a household of faith, and we're going to be challenged to see that Timothy, and for us as well, should seek to be growing disciples used by God to strengthen the church and reach the world. And that's what we see in the life of Timothy, that he was a growing disciple and that he was used by God to really strengthen the church and to make an impact on the world in making the gospel known throughout the Roman Empire. And so our text for today is from Acts 16. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there, but let's all read along here on the screen, Acts 16, 1 through 5. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And so we see here that the Apostle Paul was on a journey, and he comes to the town that Timothy resided, and it was a town called Lystra, and Paul had started on in Jerusalem up to Antioch, and then Derbe, Iconium, Troas. So he's making his way now through what we would call Turkey, and then across the sea, and then into what is now known as Greece, and we still know Athens, Greece. And so right now he's in modern-day Turkey, and on this journey he basically is going from town to town and either planting churches, or if churches have been planted, he's encouraging the brothers there. And on his journey, he comes to meet this young man named Timothy. Now, Timothy, we see here, is from a godly heritage. And we know that from our text, because his mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. So his mother was a messianic believer, and we still have those today. There's many believers that come from a Jewish heritage, and they actually worship God in a little bit different way than many of us. Some who come from a Jewish background just become part of regular churches, but many Jewish believers become part of messianic congregations, and they do believe, just like we do, that Jesus is Lord, that He's Messiah, that He's the Son of God. But they tend to have more of a Jewish orientation in terms of their celebrations of holidays, because they still want to continue not so much following the Jewish religion, but they want to still have a connection with their Jewish heritage. And we see that Jesus did this in His life in terms of following all of the different holidays and festivals of Judaism. And so these aren't something that's legalistic, but something that Jewish believers continue to do. So they'll celebrate things like Passover, and they may celebrate things like Yom Kippur, which is a high holy day, the Day of Atonement, where they confess their sins. But rather than confessing their sins to some priest or something, Jewish believers would confess to Jesus. And so they have the Jewish flavor of their faith. And so Timothy would have grown up in this messianic Jewish household. He would have learned the Old Testament and the story of the Jews. But he also would have learned from his mom who Jesus was, and that Jesus was the Messiah and the fulfillment of all things, being a Lord of all. Now we see that his father was Greek. It doesn't mention here that his father was a Christian, so most likely his father wasn't a Christian. But nonetheless, he had this heritage from his mom, but not only his mom, also his grandmother. The Apostle Paul writes in Timothy, he says, "I'm reminded of your, Timothy's, sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So in a sense, we see that Timothy is almost a third generation Christian. Now, it's possible that his grandmother and his mother became Christians at the same time, or maybe his grandmother became a Christian first and led her family to Christ, and then led Timothy to Christ. But nonetheless, he's like basically third in line in his family in terms of believing. And so we see, even at this very young stage, early stage of the church, this godly heritage that Timothy had inherited. And he indeed embraced this faith in Jesus as his own. And so here's a rendering of young Timothy learning from his mom and from his grandmother all of the things of God. And we know that it stuck, because he was and became a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Now, I think that Timothy took advantage of being someone who was raised in the faith. And I think that there are certain disadvantages for those who grow up in a Christian household, because there's still struggles in terms of making the faith not something that's just your parents or something of the family, but making the faith, making being a Christian, following Jesus, owning it for yourself. But nonetheless, if we were to compare those who didn't grow up as a Christian compared to those that do, I would say that the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages of coming to Christ at a young age. Basically, coming to Christ at a young age, you can avoid a lot of problems and issues and sinful patterns that those who don't grow up as a Christian may experience. And so I just kind of brainstormed a few here. And one is, if you grow up as a Christian, you have faith. You are introduced to Jesus as your Savior at a very young age, and you become a Christian quite young and begin this relationship with God. You have knowledge. You have truth not only from what you learn in school, but you actually have the knowledge of God that you learn from a young age in the Bible. Christians growing up in a Christian home have wisdom. It's not just about knowing the Bible, but it's again about living out the Bible. And as you live out the Bible, again, it does help you avoid a lot of problems and temptations that others who don't know Christ may go through. There's assurance of salvation that you have, knowing that no matter what, you belong to Jesus. You have hope that in spite of any circumstances and difficulties that you may go through, it's not that you will just end up in a depression or in a state of what do I do, but you can continue, like all of us, look to Jesus in spite of that. Christian kids also have parents who love them, and I think all parents love their children, but having a Christian parent that are guided by the truth of the Word can really give a guidance and nurture in a way that maybe many non-Christian parents are incapable of. There's worship, as we worship the true God, family. Once you're a Christian and as you grow up in the church, you not only have your immediate family, but you have a church family. And I know in Chinese churches, many of the elder, not so much that we're all elderly, but the parents and those that are a little older are often called auntie and uncle by the young kids. And so there's actually in the Chinese church actually even an acknowledgement of this family orientation that we do have in Christ. Of course, you learn about prayer from a young age and can go to the Lord. And also, if you grow up in the faith, you can begin even at a young age to gain a sense of mission. What is God's plan for you? And it's not just so much a plan of I want to be successful on my own, but what does God want me to do with my life? And so I think that there's many, many advantages of growing up in a household of faith, and I think that Timothy experienced many of these, and through his experience really was able to continue to follow Jesus as a disciple. And we know this phrase that kind of sums up this point, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And so those of you who are a little bit younger, as you learn from your parents and in Sunday school and church, that is the goal, that you will not turn from what you have learned, but will actually embrace it as your own, following Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and as a disciple of His. And for those of us who are parents, it's a challenge to us as well that we do train our children in the way that they should go, and that we don't necessarily just rely on the church to do that, but that it's something that we embrace as our responsibility, seeking to teach our children the ways of God. So I think here we can be encouraged by Timothy, who, though he didn't have this dramatic conversion, nonetheless embraced Jesus as his Savior from a young age. And we see that he indeed did this because Timothy, we learn, is a disciple of good reputation. Disciple of good reputation. And we see that in the first two verses of Acts. And Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And so we see here that Timothy was a disciple, and that people could see that he was living out his discipleship, and that he was really doing well in the Lord, seeking God in all things. Now, what is a disciple? Most of us, we talk about discipleship a lot, but I think it's good that we define it. A disciple is a devoted follower of a leader or teacher who undergoes a transformation from one worldview or practice of life to another. And so, of course, for followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, we're devoted followers of Jesus the Christ, Jesus our Messiah. And hopefully, we undergo transformation as we seek to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And though Timothy grew up in the faith, nonetheless, he did undergo a transformation in his life, so much so that others saw it and did speak well of him. And may that be the case for us as well, that as we seek to serve Christ, those others around us who are also believers and maybe unbelievers will see that God is indeed working in our lives as we're seeking Him. Now, in terms of living a life as a disciple, it's a little bit difficult in terms of conveying that in our modern society. Of course, as Christians, we talk about this a lot. But I think, generally speaking, being a disciple was a term that was very well known in Jesus' day and in the early church. In Paul, everybody knew what a disciple was, and everyone knew that. Well, I would be a some would say, well, I'm a disciple of John the Baptist. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a disciple of XY person. Or I'm a disciple maybe of secular people, of Aristotle or Plato or something like that. But in the U.S. and modern times, it's more we talk about mentoring. And those who are younger may seek a mentor. And those of us who have a little more experience can be mentors to others. And I think this is all a good thing, and that even in a church context, it's good for those of us, especially with more experience, to help mentor those who are younger. But mentoring doesn't really capture the fullness of the word of what a disciple is. Mentoring does have this some of these focuses in terms of team building and inspiring others and coaching others, helping others on their walk with God or in life. But discipleship is a much more full understanding, in that it's a transformed way of life that encompasses everything in our life, not just maybe our career or church or something like that. And so discipleship is actually a much broader, a much deeper term than mentoring. And I think the closest thing that we maybe can see in terms of discipleship is probably in martial arts. Now, it's not necessarily martial arts as we see it in America either. Like, my son Zach is in karate, and he has a teacher, Mr. Jerry, and he goes to classes several times a week, and he's been progressing up through the ranks of that. And he does learn karate from Mr. Jerry. However, if someone is really serious, say in China, about martial arts, they probably, if they want to give themselves to it, they would actually move away from home. They would move to the mountains, to the Shaolin Temple, and they would give themselves totally to the master, who here is in yellow, and they would give their total lives to the pursuit of martial arts. And so they would give up, if they're young, even their families, to go live at this place with a master. And it wouldn't just be about martial arts techniques. It would also be about learning the path, including probably Buddhism and different religious aspects of martial arts. And so we see that it's a total commitment, a total transformation on the part of the disciples to become like their master. And so though we're not necessarily martial artists, nonetheless, and we're called to follow Jesus in this more committed way, doing whatever our master tells us to do as we seek to follow him. And we see that the disciple Timothy actually really took this to heart, to do anything that it took in order to follow Jesus. And he took these words to heart when Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And Timothy took up the call to follow Jesus. And we see that in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me," Jesus said, "he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And so this is something that all disciples of Jesus, all of us who seek Jesus, need to take to heart, to come, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. So giving up our own way of life and embracing the life of Jesus. Now, like I said, Timothy did embrace this, and he did make a commitment, such a commitment to follow Jesus, that he was circumcised as a young man. It says in Acts 16, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And so actually this is kind of interesting, because in the early church, Paul actually had a debate amongst people who were called basically the people or the church of the circumcision. And so there was some in the early church that was saying, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to follow Judaism. We need to be we need our young men especially to be circumcised, and then you're circumcised and then you have faith in Jesus. So it's basically Jesus plus circumcision and Jesus plus the law. Now, it's interesting here because Timothy was asked by Paul to be circumcised. Now, he wasn't doing this because it was part of the salvation process, but Paul wanted him to be circumcised because they were reaching out to Jews throughout the throughout this region of the Roman Empire, and actually in reaching out to this many of these expatriate Jewish communities, they were being Jewish, they were all circumcised, and Paul didn't want to put some kind of barrier in their path as he was seeking to lead Jewish people to Christ. And so he had Timothy circumcised more for the sake of evangelism. And what's interesting is that Timothy actually decided to take heed Paul's words and in terms of reaching out to people, had himself circumcised. And I can just imagine as a young man getting circumcised, this is probably one of the most painful procedures that one could go through, but nonetheless, Timothy was willing to pay the cost as a disciple in order to follow Jesus and to make his word known. And I like really what Billy Graham says about this whole aspect and notion of discipleship, and I think it sums up this point well. Billy Graham says, "Salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything that we have." And I think this is a true statement. Salvation is free. It's a free gift of God. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's not Jesus plus something. Jesus and the law. Jesus and going to church. Jesus and reading the Bible. Jesus and circumcision. It's Jesus. It's accepting Jesus by faith and beginning to walk with Him as we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. But it costs everything that we have. It's not something that we just do in terms of basically taking out a fire insurance policy that we just, you know, make the decision and now I'm good for heaven. But it's something that we need to continue in as we follow Jesus as a disciple. It costs us everything that we have. Thirdly, our last point today is Timothy also made a difference for the kingdom. He made a difference for the kingdom. And we see that here in verse 4 and 5. They travel from town to town. They deliver the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. And so there was some decisions made by the apostles and the leaders in Jerusalem. And basically it had to do somewhat with this whole idea of Gentiles being able to enter the church without having to become Jewish. And that was the debate that circumcision had revolved around. And the church leaders said, you know, Gentiles don't have to become Jewish to become Christian. They just need to follow Christ as their disciple. And so as Paul and his party began to make his way around the churches and the communities of that area, and then Paul basically took Timothy on, basically as, in a sense, his disciple, And as they began to share the good news, the churches were strengthened and grew daily in numbers. And so Timothy, at this very relatively young age, probably in his 20s, really got to learn what it was to be a servant of God, a minister of God in spreading the gospel and discipling the churches. And it goes on then in 1 Timothy 1:3, and this is a little bit later now. So Timothy in this Acts passage was just a beginning early follower of Jesus, of Paul, and in terms of letting the gospel be made known. But then we see in Timothy is fast forward many years later. Paul's in prison, most likely in Rome, and he's writing these letters of Timothy to Timothy. And Timothy at this point is a pastor, and he's a pastor in Ephesus. And here it says, Paul writes, "As I urged you, Timothy, when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer." And so now we fast forward many years, and we see that Timothy really learned what it meant to serve the Lord. And like I said, he became a pastor of the church of Ephesus and really began and continued to make a difference make a difference for the kingdom of God in that context. So we see that even as a young disciple, Timothy sought to make a difference, and as someone who now has grown up and is a mature believer, is continuing to make a difference in being a leader of the church. And in his pastoring, at this point, he probably would have been in his mid-30s or something, but that would have been quite young, given that most rabbis would have been much older. And Paul encourages Timothy, saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in faith, in purity. And this is all things that we as disciples of Jesus should embrace and to live our lives by. And we see some of the ministries also, so we see the character that a disciple is to seek to live in speech, life, faith, and purity. But we also see some of the ministries, the gifts that Timothy had in leading the church. And it says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given through you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And so we see that Timothy here was involved in basically pastoral ministry, reading Scripture, preaching, teaching. And he also had some other gifts, and we don't actually know what that gift was. I'm guessing it may have been some kind of a gift of evangelism, or maybe exhortation, encouragement in terms of building up believers. We're not really sure. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul says, continue to work on these gifts that God has given you, that you may help make a difference in the church and for His kingdom. And we see that it's not just Timothy that is given gifts by the Holy Spirit, but each of us has a spiritual gift. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And these are basically spiritual gifts. And some have gifts of teaching, and some preaching, and some helps, and some exhortation through music, and some through service. And often I can really see how God has gifted many of you. Some I can see are really, really talented teachers. And as you teach the kids in Sunday school, God is really using you and your gifts in order to help the kids grow in their faith. And I see others who have a gift of service. Often many who are in the back washing dishes, even after everyone has gone. Someone like that has a gift of service and helps, seeking to kind of work behind the scenes. And so we don't have time to go into it, but there's probably over 30 gifts listed in the New Testament, and the challenge for all of us is to seek to discover those gifts that God has given us, because indeed God has given each of us gifts to use for His glory. And so as we conclude, we see that indeed Timothy was someone who grew up in the church, who had a godly heritage, but nonetheless embraced Jesus as his Savior and Lord at a very young age, and followed him throughout the rest of his life. And we can, I think, each be encouraged by this to follow Jesus at no matter what stage we're in. He was a disciple of good reputation. He made a difference in the kingdom, and I think this is summed up by the statement I had made earlier. Seek to be a growing disciple used by God to strengthen the church and reach the world. And so as we reflect on Timothy this week, as we reflect on these words of God, let us, each of us, seek to be a growing disciple, someone who seeks to know and follow Jesus and do what He wants us to do, and be used to strengthen the church, to strengthen the body of believers, to encourage each other, and to be used by God as we use our gifts and talents for Him. And that is our call, to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, to give up all in order to do what God has called us to do as we follow Jesus. And so let this be an encouragement for us as we seek to live out our life through the power of God, through the power of His Spirit, as seeking to make a difference for Him in our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, that though there's many examples in Scripture of dramatic conversions of people that were once totally lost in the sin and now have been transformed. I thank you that we see here an example of Timothy, one who grew up in the faith. And there's many young people here who are in Christian homes who are growing up in the faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to take advantage of this blessing that they have, and that you can also enable them to embrace and make for their own a relationship with Jesus, becoming a disciple and follower of Him. And Father, also for us who are parents, help us to encourage our kids, our children, Lord, to grow up in the faith, to teach them the way that they should go. And Lord, for maybe the rest of us, Lord, help us as well to be devoted followers of Jesus and to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ along the way. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.